So hello everybody and welcome to this week's Pitching In NPL show. We start this week's show with a little disclaimer. The show was recorded predominantly on Thursday and therefore we missed the big news breaking on Friday with regards to the situation at Whitby Town and the announcement that long-standing manager and friend of the show Chris Hardy has stood down as manager at the club. So this show was recorded before that big breaking news and we'll have more from Whitby Town on next week's show. Hello everybody and welcome to this week's Pitching In NPL show. I'm your host Ben and down the other end of the phone for another week of Northern Premier League chatter, we should be joined by Mr. James Hayes, everyone. Woo!
How are you doing, Ben? How are you doing?
We're all good here. Some great results from Saturday. We've had some midweek results as well and we'll be going through them one by one in a second or two. We're also going to be talking the FA Trophy because there were some FA Trophy matches last week as we'll be joined by Ramsbottom United manager Chris Wilcock and his counterpart at Kidsgrove Athletic, Scott Dundas. And we're also going to be talking a little bit about the FA Cup as we'll be joined by Runcorn Linnets manager Callum McIntyre, as well as having a full fixture preview later in the show, Mr. Andrew Snaith. That's right, we're going back to the NPL show kitchen, as we'll be joined by Andrew Snaith. We'll be cooking up some scampi and discussing the FA Cup second qualifying round this weekend. But James, let's talk about some of the results then from the Northern Premier League Premier Division. We'll start things off by talking about the league leaders at the moment. Warrington Town, fantastic win on Saturday, a 3-0 victory over Gainsborough Trinity. They followed that up midweek on Tuesday with a great 2-0 win over Atherton Colls. That's three wins from three now, James, and also scored seven, conceded none. It's been a good start to the season for Paul Carden's side.
Yeah, indeed it is. I mean, again, normally we talk about Warrington who start a little bit bumpier than the last couple of seasons. This is a completely different situation. They look very settled, and looking at the highlights, they look like they control games throughout as well. Some of the signings that they've made with Bowen Dixon as well really coming to life. These look like they could be the big, big threat this season more than anyone.
Sitting in second, Scarborough Athletic, a 0-0 draw with FC United on Saturday. 10-man FC United, incidentally, for half an hour towards the end of the game, but 0-0 the score. Stalybridge Celtic 0. Scarborough Athletic 3 was the full-time score on Tuesday. That sees Scarborough into second spot. Still not conceded a goal this season in their opening three games. And for some reaction now to that 3-0 win on Tuesday night at Bower Fold, Darren Kelly, manager at Scarborough Athletic, caught up with the YouTube channel at the club.
Well, that's a good night's work then.
Yeah, delighted. Because I know it's a tough place to come. It's always been a tough place. I know Simon, he always builds strong sides. But I thought we came down here tonight. I thought we dominated, especially the first half. Second half, sort of they eased off a bit. But I think the first half, I thought we were absolutely fantastic. I thought how we linked play. I thought we controlled, were intensity in possession. I thought some of our combination play was excellent. Could have been more. I thought out of possession. Again, we worked hard to win the ball back. Never give them a moment. And as I say, it's a tough place to come. So to score three in the first half, and again from a pleasing point from defensively to keep a clean sheet, it's a great night's work. And you know, you see the players in there, even the players playing the second half, you know, having niggles. We've had to make a couple of changes through injury, which isn't ideal, because then you can sort of, you know, come off track a bit from what you're looking to do, you know. But again, I thought the players would come on, bloody cads. I thought they put in a good shift as well to help the team. So overall, absolutely delighted. 3 points, 3 goals and a clean sheet.
And second in the league.
Yeah, second in the league. You know, you look at that and it's great, you know, but...
Early doors.
Yeah, it's very early doors, and that's the thing. It's, again, you know, 5-10 games really ends where the season sort of starts to settle down. And, you know, we've had a good start. Three away games, three tough away games, I may add, against good opposition. As I say, it comes Stalybridge, a tough place to come. And win 1-0, never mind 3-0. So, because I say, you know, Simon, he builds good, strong sides. But I think we caught them in a night. Well, I think it's been, you know, us even Saturday as well, where we work hard for each other. You know, we win our individual battles and we do its best for the team, and that's put in a good shift. And I thought the boys done it superbly.
Three quality goals.
Three fantastic goals. Yeah, there's a couple more even the second half. We could have had a couple. The second half's probably a bit more even, but, you know, again, I think it was one of those games that, you know, again, we still put them down. We lost a couple through injury. Baz, to be fair, got his knock first half.
Right.
Was struggling half time, then starts to stiffen up. Bish got a crack to the knee, which again, you know, we had to bring him off. So. Yeah. But the boys, I thought we were always, you know,
nothing too long term in the injuries.
No, and hopefully for the next game we'll have Coulson back as well, which will add great strength and to the side. Yeah, just getting ready now for the next day, I think.
Big thank you to the media team there at Scarborough Athletic. That was Darren Kelly speaking on Tuesday night following that 3-0 win at Stalybridge Celtic. A good scoreline that, James, and a comprehensive victory for Scarborough.
Remember, it's been three away games as well, so three good results on the road. They're going to be happy with that situation. Obviously, they've got one more game to play before they're back at the Flamingo Land Stadium. But I think Darren Kelly can be happy, and he's still developing the side at the moment. Obviously, just signed Lewis Turner from Matlock in the last 24 hours, if he's talking now. So he's got the momentum going now, and I can't see him not dropping it in the next couple of weeks the way they've been playing.
Also on 7 points after three games, we've got Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town, a fantastic result this. A 3-0 victory on Saturday afternoon against Stalybridge Celtic. They followed that up on Tuesday night, coming from 1-0 down against Buxton at the Weaver Stadium. In the last 4 minutes, Nantwich Town taking all 3 points. James Laurie scoring on 86, then Joel Stair scoring 2 minutes later. Great result that for Nantwich Town. Sees them in third spot. Let's have some post-match reaction now. Dave Cook, manager of Nantwich Town, speaking to the in-house YouTube channel on Tuesday evening.
Well, I've got to say, since my fourth season back, that's up there with one of the best performances. When you think, you know, the players that we had missing or you know, and at half-time, Callum Saunders' hamstring was tight and it was a case of pushing Luke Walsh forward. And the lads just never say die. And I thought if we'd have lost the game 1-0, then, to me, they couldn't have given anything else. And it was a case, I just thought they kept going. He kept knocking on that door, they kept going. And in the end, you know, look, you're thinking this door is never going to open. And then we got the penalty, Jimmy Laurie, great goal. And then he puts a free kick in Joel. Joel, what a fantastic header. And it's what we deserve, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I think the comeback was well deserved. They were quite a dominant team to start with, and the lads just didn't give up for 90 minutes,
look,
and it paid off.
Buxton will be up there. They've got a lot of quality in the team. They're very strong. We said at half-time we need to stay in this game, because if they'd have scored 1 second half, it'd give us a mountain to climb. But while it's 1-0, we kept believing. And look, I just thought the lads were just absolutely fantastic from 1 to 11 and subs as well. They were great.
Three games in and haven't lost one yet. It's got to be a good feeling so far.
Yeah, we're... We know when we can play like we've done today, then we're a match for anybody. And so, look, there's a long, long, long way to go in this league. There'll be loads of twists and turns. There'll be loads of different things that happen in the league. But hopefully, we can be in and around it. And, you know, that's all we can hope for.
Big thank you to the media team at Nantwich Town there for that clip. That was Dave Cook speaking post-match after his side's 2-1 victory over Buxton. Let's go to the team sitting in fourth then. Played 3, 1-2, lost 1. The defeat, we've already discussed it, came on Saturday. Warrington Town 3, Gainsborough Trinity 0. But Gainsborough Trinity did bounce back and how on Tuesday evening, beating Whitby Town by 5-1. Rob Orlando Young with not just a hat-trick, but four goals in that one. Get your reaction in a second, James, to this top four, but let's have the post-match reaction now from Curtis Woodhouse, manager at Gainsborough Trinity. Here he is speaking with Gainsborough Trinity TV shortly after the final whistle on Tuesday.
You said at the weekend you wanted your side to play like Barcelona. I think they got there tonight, didn't they?
I think we're a bit better than Barcelona, to be honest. Yeah, I think at times we were breathtaking tonight, and I mean, I don't know how many were here tonight, but it looked like it was a good crowd and a good atmosphere. And I mean, I've not watched all the games at Gainsborough Trinity, but I bet there haven't been too many better performances than there was tonight. I thought as a team to a man, we were a different class.
Rod Orlando Young is a winger who can at times frustrate, but at times be superb, and a little bit of everything with his goals tonight.
Yeah, and you know, I said to Rod when he came off, the first day he came to training, he forced me to sign him. By his attitude, his application, his performances in training. Whenever he's come on off the bench, he's been a handful. You know, away at Mansfield, he got us a penalty that went on and missed. But every time, he's constantly giving me a reminder of, hey, Gaffer, don't forget about me. And I thought on Saturday he played well, and I thought today he was. I mean, he was unplayable, wasn't he? He was different class. And all his hard work in pre-season, he deserves that moment tonight. I'm so happy for him. He's a great kid. He's great to have around the place. The lads love him. And tonight he was unplayable.
Curtis Woodhouse there, manager of Gainsborough Trinity, following that 5-1 victory over Whitby Town midweek. What does that say, James, about Gainsborough? I mean, Curtis said on this show a couple of weeks ago, you know, the players have signed, not many people have heard of them, but hopefully by Christmas they will have. Keep playing like that, they might know him by November.
Yeah, again, I guess it's different games situation from last year. So for him to be up there, they're really deserved, and it looks like they've got more than one or two capable strikers. Orlando Young, top goal scorer in the third match of the season. Yeah, I know it means nothing at the most moment in time. We could talk about dark horses for the season. I think Gainsborough could really be up there if they can keep that confidence going.
South Shields currently sitting in fifth spot. South Shields on Saturday drawing 0-0 against Hyde United. They were back in Tameside on Tuesday night for probably game of the season thus far. I think I'm safe in saying that, really. Ashton United 3, South Shields 3. Both teams throwing everything at this one. But Jason Gilchrist and Robert Briggs scoring back-to-back goals on 76 and 78 minutes, seeing the points shared. Quite a game of football, this one at Hurst Cross, James.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that was pretty much a dress rehearsal for this coming Saturday, because they'd be again in the FA Cup. Obviously, start with a hard game. Hard is turning into a little bit of a bogey team there for South Shields. I think that's four games in a row now they've failed to come away with the 3 points. I think South Shields said, as soon as they get settled down again, they'll be a bit more of a threat. And obviously, they've shown it in the second half of the Ashton game as well, the way they were able to turn that around. So yeah, this coming Saturday, they were taking that into mind coming into this coming Saturday game, what they did with Ashton, and the next couple of teams, if they get a win, would need to worry.
Well, South Shields in fifth, played 3, 1-1, drawn 2. They are undefeated. Also undefeated from their opening 3 games is Morpeth Town, beating Micklethwaite Sports by 2-1 in Derbyshire on Saturday afternoon. They followed that up with a gritty performance, I'm going to suggest, at the Giant Axe. Lancaster City going 2-0 up pretty much after 10 minutes. But Morpeth Town getting the goals back with Liam Henderson shortly into the second half. And then Cal Finnegan popping up in added time to steal a point from that game. Good start from Morpeth, really. I mean, that's a great result, that, on Tuesday night at Lancaster.
And another one that had to come back and fight for it and doing so incredibly well.
Let's have some post-match reaction then. I mean, it was quite a dramatic performance that on Tuesday night. So let's have some reaction now from manager at Morpeth Town. Here's Steve Turnbull speaking with Highwaymen TV.
Proudest I've been since I've been manager to go 2-0 down and show the courage that we did. I couldn't be prouder. I've just said that to them in there. I couldn't be prouder. This is an easy place to come. I'd have took a point before tonight, Tuesday, away from home, down here, good team, well organised. I'm absolutely delighted. I think I'm more delighted tonight than I was on Saturday when we won.
Let's kind of walk through the game in order and in stages, because it was that kind of seesaw game. The first 10, 15, 20 minutes, I imagine you weren't a happy manager.
No, I wasn't happy, and I said it half time. Apart from the first 10 minutes, we were very good. obviously it's a Tuesday, you've travelled down here, it takes you a while to get going, but I've said to the lads, listen, let this be a learning curve, not just for tonight, but for the rest of the season. If you start bad, you get punished. They've showed unbelievable character to get back into the game. Mind you, I quietly, confidently felt like we would get back into the game. We've got some great characters here, and that tonight proves it more than ever what I think in that squad.
So at half time, the kind of the first of all, what did you say to them? If you can put that on video, and then second of all, that first goal of the second half was always going to be crucial in the context of the game.
Pretty much exactly what you just said there. I said to the lads, I said, if you start poorly, you'll get punished. And that's not just tonight, but the rest of the season. But I said, if we score the next goal, these will crumble. We started off with a draw and a defeat, so you're always nervy, desperate for that first win. So, what I said was, get that first goal, you never know. And listen, we've showed unbelievable courage there to get a point.
And that moment at the end, you must have been absolutely delighted that all the effort and endeavour did pay off with Finners popping up at the back post.
Yep, definitely. Good substitution.
tip of the cap, man.
Aye, I'll tap myself on the back there. Just absolutely delighted. Delighted for them. I said before the game, someone asked us the other week, what kind of team are you? Are you a footballing team? And I said, aye, we're a footballing team. And what will you be like if you come up against a tough team? And then I thought about that. I thought, well, if we come up against a tough team, I would fancy you even more. Because there's 12, 13, 14 people there who are ready to fight, scrap, do whatever they have to win a game of football. And listen, I've just set them there. We're three games in the season, but I'm absolutely buzzing for this season.
Steve Turnbull there, manager of Morpeth Town, speaking to Highwayman TV on YouTube following that 2-2 draw with Lancaster on Tuesday evening. Should say all the links to the club YouTube channels that we featured on this week's show is available in the description to this podcast. Click subscribe on YouTube. That's what the kids say, isn't it? Click subscribe.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, like, click subscribe and all that, yeah. Still on MySpace, mate. Let's move on now and head one position below Morpeth. That's Buxton. Buxton, a 2-2 draw on Saturday against Whitby Town. And as we discussed midweek, Buxton were beaten by Nantwich Town. Mixed bag of results. Played 3, won 1, drawn 1, lost 1. Sitting one position below Buxton is Ashton United. We've already covered off their 3-0 draw, their thrilling 3-0 draw with South Shields from Tuesday night. Still undefeated, Ashton United, we should point out. Matlock Town in ninth position. Matlock Town 2-0 winners over Stafford Rangers on Saturday afternoon. And a 2-2 draw with Basford United, James, on Tuesday night. Good start for Matlock. Very good start. Very encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, signing Danny Greenfield seems to be one of the big ones there for him at the moment in time. He had scored a great goal against Stafford at the weekend. And looks like one of them midfielders that like, get forward. He can score from distance. He likes to run the ball in. Players at that long league level don't tend to come quite often and they can be quite useful. So he's going to be one of the big players there to watch for Matlock this season.
Yes, Basford, they did win on Saturday. They travelled to Lancaster City and they won by 2-1. Stefan Galinski scoring on 26 minutes. Andy Teague scoring an equaliser. And then Alex Hose on 52 minutes scored to take all 3 points at the Giant Axe. So a mixed bag of results for Basford as well. Played 3, won 1, drawn 1, lost 1 at this stage of the season. Whitby Town, we covered off their 2-2 draw with Buxton from Saturday. Radcliffe 1, Witton Albion 4. Fantastic result that for Witton Albion. They couldn't repeat the outcome on Tuesday night though. Micklover 2, Witton Albion 1. Micklover there with their first win of the season. But there's one other team down in the lower half of the table who are undefeated at time of recording. And that is FC United of Manchester. Played 3, drawn 3. A 0-0 draw on Saturday at home to Scarborough. And as I said earlier, FC United were down to 10 men with Luke Griffiths getting a red card just before the hour mark. And FC United then drew 2-2 on the road, just travelling across town to play Hyde United on Tuesday night. Ewan Fields, 2-2 in that one. I think we can say we stole a point against Hyde United. I think Hyde United deserved a bit more from the game, but 2-2 the score. Just a couple of more results that we need to mention from Saturday. Grantham Town 1, Atherton Coles 2. Fantastic result that for Atherton Coles. Grantham Town did pick up a point though on Tuesday evening. They drew 1-1 with Stafford Rangers, whilst Atherton Colts, as we said earlier, were beaten 2-0 by Warrington Town. I think that's everything for Saturday's results. I think I've covered everything. Yeah. That's everything for Saturday's results. Just checking if we've covered everything for Tuesday. I think we have, James. Yes. Yes, we have. So coming up shortly, we're going to be catching up with Andrew Snaith with a full fixture preview for this weekend's matches in the FA Cup. And we're also going to be catching up with the Runcorn Linnets manager as well, Callum McIntyre, to talk about this weekend's FA Cup tie for his side. But in a second, we're going to be focusing in on the FA Trophy as well, because there were some results from the first qualifying round of the FA Trophy from last Saturday. But James, that's your bit of the show done and dusted. Big thanks for joining us. Looking forward to this weekend.
Well, whatever we can see, yeah. Obviously, quick reminder, for those in the FA Cup, all the sides are trying their hardest to get streams and radio commentaries up. I think we've got the record for it this weekend because of that. But yeah, good luck to us in the FA Cup this weekend.
James Hayes there, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Shortly, we're going to be catching up with Coast and County Radio presenter Andrew Snaith for a full fixture preview for this weekend's second qualifying round matches in the FA Cup. But before that, it's the first qualifying round of the FA Trophy that we turn to, as last weekend there were four matches in the first qualifying round of this season's competition. In the All-NPL affair, Tadcaster Albion 1, Marine 3 was the final score on Saturday. So commiserations to Tadcaster, congratulations to Marine. Commiserations as well to Market Drayton Town. They were beaten at home 1-0 by Bury Town. But a big congratulations to Kidsgrove Athletic, and we'll be hearing from Scott Dundas shortly as they progress through to the second qualifying round, as did Ramsbottom United. They travelled to Yorkshire to take on Ossett United, and it finished Ossett United 0, Ramsbottom United 2. And for more on this, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Ramsbottom United. It's a welcome back to the show to Chris Wilcock. Well, Chris, a big thank you for joining us, and cracking result this last week in the FA Trophy, a good result midweek as well against Pickering Town in the league. So how's the start to the season been?
It's been decent so far. Obviously, we've got a new group of players. We've lost a number of players since last season, and we've had to reshape the squad again. And ultimately, when you're winning with a new group of players, obviously helps with the confidence. But yeah, it's been a decent start, and we're looking forward to Saturday.
Yes, it's early days, we have to say, and I know managers like to say, you know, we can take each game as it comes and that kind of thing, but, you know, top of the league, two games into the season, I mean, it's certainly been carrying on where you left off, really. And that how challenging has that been to bridge that gap from, you know, what happened at the end of last season to where we are now?
It's been extremely challenging. Obviously, when you lose a dozen players from last season's squad that did exceptionally well for us, it's difficult to reshape and bring the right type of personnel in to play the way you want to. And slowly but surely, things started to develop throughout pre-season. You know, we've had a reasonable start. We're not getting carried away with it. There's a lot more to come from this group of players. But at the moment, when you're winning games and you're looking to improve, it makes it a lot easier as a manager. And slowly but surely, the penny's starting to drop with what we're looking for. And, you know, we've had a number of good results off the back of that.
And what's your general sense of the competition overall? I mean, I could just repeat last year's preview show, essentially, couldn't I, really, with regards to how competitive the North West Division is. But because of the circumstances behind last season, everyone kind of knows what to expect now, don't they, from this league? So it's doubly tough, I'm going to suggest.
I mean, obviously, you know, people do look at where we were in the league prior to, you know, the season being null and void. I can understand that, but ultimately when we have to reshape a new squad, everybody's then looking to see whether we can reproduce what we did last season. At the moment, it's been a decent start. We're not favourites for the league by any means, stretch of imagination. There's a number of teams in our league throwing quite a lot of money at the situation and looking to get out into step three. We set our targets out, as we always do, and try and make the playoffs. And then if we do, or when we, you know, achieve that, then we'll set our targets again off the back of that. But at the moment, it's extremely early days. We're not getting carried away with anything, and we're just looking forward to the game against Pontefract on Saturday.
And with regards to the FA Trophy, obviously, I mean, a great result against Ossett, but it sets up in a couple of weeks' time this really engaging match. You know, you're top of your section of Division 1. You're playing the team currently top of the other section, Worksop Town. I mean, what's your take on this biggie coming up down the track?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's an excellent result at Ossett, considering we lost our goalkeeper to a broken leg at half, you know, in the first half. We had to then put an outfield player in goals for the second half of the game. I thought the lads were magnificent protecting him throughout the second half, and we, you know, we ran out deserved winners. We now look forward to Worksop Town, who we know of really well. Obviously, it's the previous management team and a number of players from Pontefract last season who were in our division. You've gone over to Worksop. So we know quite a lot about them. They know quite a lot about us. Both teams have had a decent start to the season. And, you know, when the game comes around, I'm sure both teams will focus on trying to win the fixture.
And final question, Chris. Before that, like you say, I mean, you've got quite a few league games coming up, starting off with tomorrow's match against Pontefract Colls. How good is it to be back on the touchline and with a crowd behind you as well? I mean, how good is it to be back?
Yeah, no, it's it is good to be back with you know, fans in the ground. It was a bit surreal in pre-season, not having fans in the ground. But ultimately now we're at a point where we can have a percentage back in. I'm sure I speak on behalf of all the managers, you know, throughout all the levels, and having a crowd in, even though it's only a percentage at the moment, is not only good for them financially for the clubs who are, you know, fighting this COVID-19 scenario and the way the world is at the moment, but ultimately the players will be certainly gain an extra step in their stride. And, you know, when the fans are singing the name and singing the club's name, it's always brings an extra special situation to the games.
Chris Wilcock there, manager of Ramsbottom United, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Let's return now to last Saturday's first qualifying round matches in the FA Trophy. There was a victory as well for Kidsgrove Athletic, coming from 2-0 down to defeat Cambridge City away from home by 3-2. Cracking result this one for the Staffordshire side. And for more on this, let's hear now from the manager at Kidsgrove Athletic. It's a welcome back to the show to Scott Dundas. Well, Scott, a big thank you for joining us. We'll get to, you know, how the season's going thus far, but a cracking result last weekend against Cambridge City. You must be over the moon with that comeback in the second half.
Yeah, we were. Like I said on a couple of interviews already, we couldn't believe we were actually 2-0 down. We thought we played quite well first half. But yeah, they turned it round second half and did a brilliant comeback to get us the victory.
And when it comes to yourself, obviously you've joined the club as manager, but there was a bit of a break, wasn't there, due to COVID and for obvious reasons. So how challenging has pre-season been and shaping the squad your way you want it heading into this new season?
Yeah, it was very difficult, to be honest with you. It was, you know, once I got appointed, and then I think the week after it all stopped, and we didn't have the first 6 months. And then we got back into season slowly, but surely. We were just doing 1 week at a time. A few players left, obviously, as they do when new managers come in. But I was luckily enough to be left with 8 or 9 of the lads from last season. I've just added like probably 10 as well. So they're just knitting together at the minute, gelling together and doing okay so far.
Yeah, I'd say you're doing better than okay, in all fairness, especially when it comes to the league. I mean, a great way to start away at Stocksbridge with a 1-0 win. And then to beat Leek Town midweek, just in the week just gone, by 1-0. I mean, it's pretty good stuff when it comes to the league form, that's for sure, at this early stage.
Yeah, we looked at the fixtures as they come out and saw Stocksbridge away, and it's always a difficult place to go. And then, obviously, we got Leek, who were with them and Stamford running away with the league last year, and obviously how they both started. I think winning 5-0, and we were thinking, oh yeah, it's going to happen again. But the lads put a tremendous performance in Tuesday night, got the rewards.
All that being said, though, there is an elephant in the room, and that was the early rounds, the preliminary round of the FA Cup. It was sod's law you were going to get chased down, wasn't it? In all fairness,
it was. Yeah, I was good friends with Brian Austin, who was Kidgrove manager before me, and he said, like, as we were talking, it probably Congleton or Chasetown that we drew, and when draw came out, he texted me and said, "Told you," and it was like Chasetown. So yeah, it was a pity really that it was the first game, but you know, the lads, we've got them again on Tuesday night.
No, yes.
Hopefully a quick turnaround. No game this weekend, with it being the FA Cup. But the lads will still be in training. And then hopefully we can turn up this time at Chasetown away on Tuesday.
So given the FA Trophy result last week and that second half performance and the grit and determination from your side, the two great league results as well against Stocksbridge and Leek, what's your target for this season, if I can ask you a really Nostradamus question as we head into October?
Yeah, I know. It's normally, obviously, at the start of the season, you just say to the players, you know, we want to be up there and competing at the right end of the table. Last few years, Kidsgrove have been in and around, you know, the bottom half or mid-table. So, you know, the remit is just to be up there and hopefully challenging for playoff position. But we know how difficult that is with the side that are in there, with the elite Stamfords, Malpers, Cleethorpes, Stocksbridges, everybody like that. You know, they've all always got a good 10 of teams in there that are fighting for those first five places. So to just try and be in and around there somewhere, hopefully.
And obviously you mentioned that the break from the FA Cup this weekend. You do return to the FA Trophy, though, in a few weeks' time. Away at Daventry, that's another tough draw.
Yeah, definitely. They've funnily enough, started the season exactly the same as us, two 1-0 wins. So, you know, good defensive. Obviously, we're not playing tomorrow. We can go and have a little watch, which is always helpful. But, yeah, it's another tough away draw for us. But hopefully, if they show the same determination they did against Cambridge, then we can hopefully come away with a victory.
And final question, Scott. Obviously, it's a question I've been asking most managers. It's good to be back, isn't it, all things considered, and with some great results on the pitch as well. I mean, how good is it to be back on the touchline?
Yeah, fantastic, to be honest with you. Even seeing the fans in there, like I say, normally at Kidsgrove, you're averaging 150, 160, and we've had two home games and got 320, I think, in the first game, and then we got 400 on Tuesday night. So the fans of the local teams, Stoke and Vales and Crews, are coming down, I think, and having a watch as well, so they can see a bit of live football, which is great for us as well.
Scott Dundas there, manager of Kidsgrove Athletic, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. In a second, we'll be having a full fixture preview with Andrew Snaith from Coast and County Radio in a second or two. But just a reminder that much of the show this week was recorded on Thursday before the announcements from Whitby Town that Chris Hardy stood down as manager. We'll have more news on the situation at the Turnbull Ground on next week's show, but it's now time for our fixture preview for Saturday's matches in the FA Cup. Well, it's now time to draw our eyes to this weekend's matches in the FA Cup second qualifying round. And joining me down the other end of the phone now, so welcome back to Coast and County's very own Mr. Andrew Snaith. Hello, Andy. How are you?
Evening, Ben. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Nice to be on.
It's nice to have you back. It really is. And I thought, what better way to welcome Mr. Snaith back than to talk about this weekend's matches in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. Let's kick things off by talking about probably tie of the round. It's got to be up there, hasn't it? Ashton United against South Shields. The two went head-to-head in the league on Tuesday. A 3-3 draw. Bit of a thriller at Hurst Cross. Hopefully a thriller on Saturday afternoon in the FA Cup.
Indeed, yeah, absolutely. And Ashton have made a great start to the campaign. Sancho was having a little bit of a stutter compared with what we'd expect from them, of course. Ashton had a great 2-0 win at Scarborough recently. Obviously, the Scarborough side decimated by injury. I think it's all set to be a thriller. And, of course, no replays in the FA Cup this time around. So I wouldn't be surprised if it went the distance, Ben.
Also, a good occasion probably at Silverlands on Saturday. Buxton taking on Stafford Rangers. Stafford Rangers, it's been an okay start. It's certainly been an okay start for Buxton, but where are we up to at the minute? It feels like a settling in period for Buxton, given all the noise that was being made during pre-season at the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a bit of a mixed start for Buxton, a win, a draw, and a defeat. I think they're still finding their feet. You often hear talk of pre-season favourites, but I think this is a great time to play the pre-season favourites, because they've usually signed a lot of good players, as Buxton have done, and they're still bedding in. And I think Stafford Rangers are going to have a chance to inflict a bit of an upset. I think Saturday will be the best chance they'll have.
There was a big upset in the first qualifying round when Chasetown beat Baysford. Chasetown, obviously, you know, we go back a few years to the epic cup run that they had. This is a tall ask, though, I feel, on Saturday. Chasetown against AFC Telford United. The only thing we can say is that, you know, football's not played on paper. And if it was, then there's a lot of caveats to this game. Sure, there's two divisions separating these two teams, but this is Telford's first proper game of the season. So it's going to be a lot more of a level of playing field than it would have been.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, Chasetown have quite the cup pedigree of late. I think they had a big run in the FA Trophy as well last season. I think they've got a real chance. I think Telford are going to have a big challenge on their hands. As you say, their first competitive football of the season, and it's going to be a tough one for them. A real derby there as well down in the West Midlands. I think Chasetown have a terrific chance, Ben.
Yes, absolutely. And there's definitely no crowd at the Tameside Stadium on Saturday, as Curzon Ashton will be taking on FC United of Manchester. Ordinarily, there'd be nearly 3,000 people at this game, and it would be a great atmosphere. You know, Curzon would be there with their drum, and FC would be there doing what they do. But it's going to be a strange one because, you know, I know Sky Sports do this thing of pumping in atmosphere, but there is no atmosphere, and that's weird for an FC United game in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just the sound of echoey kicks of ball and shouts from the sidelines.
It's just from the management. It's just a local power league, isn't it? That's all it is. It's just.
Yeah.
Just going to be weird. But carry on. Sorry.
No, I've seen FC United's league record. Of course, the draw specialist. Three draws in three games, and you know, it's nailed on to go to penalties, isn't it, this one?
We're just here for a good time, Andrew. I keep saying that. And draws are certainly, you know, 0-0 draws as well, they're good. Right. But yeah, Curzon Ashton taking on FC United on Saturday. There's a big task on the hands of Prescott Cables. They're travelling to Darlington, but the same thing applies. You know, Prescott, they've got games under the belt. They've been playing a couple of more rounds than everyone else for the FA Cup as well. They've been playing league games. That's more than Darlington have.
Yeah, quite right. Yeah, a decent win in the last round as well, Prescott, over Sunderland RCA. And a Sunderland RCA side that started well in the Northern League First Division. And as we well know, those Northern League sides can really spring a surprise and are usually at a deceptively low level for the actual quality they have. So I think Prescott, again, against the Darlington side that haven't played any competitive football yet, will go there and have a real chance, a real fighting chance of springing a big shot.
We've also got Farsley Celtic, our old friends Farsley Celtic. They're hosting Radcliffe. Radcliffe not had the start we were expecting, given the recruitment. It's been a bit stop-start. Admittedly, they played, you know, the likes of Buxton and that, haven't they? But there's an opportunity here for a big upset.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, Radcliffe are bottom of what is a very much an embryonic MPL Premier Division table, but they have only played the two games. They are still a good side. They will still go there thinking they have a very, very good dance, and I would agree they will have. And of course, with the COVID regulations, there'll be nobody inside the ground, I don't think. It's elite against non-elite. There you go. But yeah, they'll go there and give it a right go. They'll cross the Pennines with a real fighting chance.
Grantham Town, they're hosting Matlock Town. Matlock have had a really good start to the season, and Paul Phillips will be keen to keep the show on the road.
He will. And Grantham yet to pick up a win so far this season, albeit not an easy place to go at the best of times. And Matlock have made a decent enough start, a mixed start, like a few sides, but I think they've signed some good players on there, although they have lost one to Scarborough this week in Turner, but they will have they're maybe slight favourites, Ben, but as you know, two MPL sides fighting it out. I don't think there'll be too much between them.
Our old friends Guiseley are hosting Atherton Colls on Saturday. There's going to be no crowd at this one either. It's an odd one, isn't it, all this? Because we just don't know, to repeat ourselves, we just don't know what the National League North side are going to be like. Because for a lot of these players, it's not been decided whether they're going to be playing or not until very last minute. And, you know, how do you prepare?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we're going to be repeating ourselves quite a long lot of times.
It's like cliffhanger. It's like cliffhanger, this, Andrew. We've got nothing. We've got nothing to grip onto for these National League North sides at the moment.
Indeed.
Guys, they don't even do pies. Got nothing.
Oh, that's wrong.
Yeah, hot dogs.
They deserve to go out for that. One might say, but yes, yeah. Atherton, well, hopefully they'll push Guiseley off that hypothetical precipice. But lost out in midweek by 2-0, albeit at a resurgent Warrington. More of them to come later on. But yeah, Colts will be another side going over the Pennines and fancying their chances.
Coming down the motorway, but from a Lancashire perspective, is AFC Fylde. They're travelling to Hyde United. Hyde United, very, very unlucky not to take the 3 points on Tuesday night against FC. You'd imagine Fylde are the favourites, but Hyde United, they put in some good displays, especially against South Shields last week. So, you know, this isn't a gimme.
No, not at all. Obviously, a Fylde side that were recently relegated from the National League, but yes, Hyde going there. They're full of goals. They're a good competitive team. They'll want to put on a show. You know, there's always that idea that that sides playing a team from a higher league, they want to put on a show. They want to show that they're as good as they are. And upset the apple cart, and Hyde will go with that mentality, no doubt.
We've got a weird anomaly coming up next, because a Step 4 side is going in as the favourites in a game, because Ilkeston Town are hosting Hanley Town of the North West Counties. Big banana skin this one for Ilkeston, but you know, we had Martin Carruthers on the show last week. You know, they've got high hopes for this season, and a good cup run would be quite handy for the club at this stage of their re-energising, let's say, that they've been going through in recent seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, because obviously the North West Counties haven't started their season. They're in the same boat as the Conference North side. So you're quite right that Ilkeston would go in there as favourites. And they've had a decent pre-season, albeit quite a shortened one. They won all the games, but I think they only played three matches. So Ilkeston, you know, again, it seems that Ilkeston go through these cycles of flying up and then you know, having it all fall away and then build themselves back up again. They're a really well run outfit from what I've seen of the media output, and I'm hoping that for their sake and for the league's sake that's going to be the case on the field as well, and they can progress.
It's an all-North-East affair on Saturday at Marsh United. They're hosting Concert of the Northern League. Get your cliche bingo cards out at home. Never underestimate a Northern League side, especially when they're a former Northern League side.
Yeah, absolutely. More concert. I've still got the FA Vars final to come as well. So that's how good they've been of late. They're 3 wins out of 3 in the Northern League First Division. Mask are 2 wins out of 2 in the NPL Northwest. Should be an absolutely cracking tie, Ben.
Members of the Midlands Premier League, Newark, they're travelling to our very own Mickleover FC. Mickleover, great result on Tuesday night over Witton Albion. It's a decent side. It's a young side, though, that he's created this season.
Yeah, absolutely. They go again, Mickleover, and I think there's a feeling they upset the odds year after year by continuing to consolidate. I can't tell you that I know too much about Newark other than that they are have a terrific train station. Great stuff. LNER. East Coast Main Line.
Yeah. I could tell you that they were founded in 1901.
Oh, that's great.
And they play in Orange. So there you go. Like Salford City used to.
Possible clash. Possible clash. Yeah.
Right, let's good comprehensive fixture preview this, dear listener at home. I think we can all agree. There's an all Division 1 North West affair on Saturday. Mosley hosting Tadcaster Albion. This is an intriguing game because both clubs have had decent starts to the season.
Yes, they have. Yeah, terrific starts. Mosley third in the North West Division. Just 2 wins out of 3 and not too far behind them. Tadcaster, they've only played the 2 games, still unbeaten. I like the look of Tadcaster. You know, they look good in the playoffs last season, and of course then COVID hit. I think they would have had a really good chance of promotion. They're a really good side. You might know Mosley a bit better than I do, but I'm just looking at their form, and they're a pretty formidable side up there at the top end.
I only know football grounds by the standard of pies, and I've always enjoyed my pies at Mosley. Obviously, a club that don't do pies is Barwell. Instead, they do the Barwell Burger, so all is forgiven because the Barwell Burger is sensational. But they won't be on offer this weekend because Barwell are travelling to Nantwich Town, who also do nice pies, incidentally. I've gone down a cul-de-sac here, Andrew. I'm going to keep going, though. Nantwich Town against our old friends Barwell. Nantwich are in great form at the moment, unbeaten this season. I mean, it's going to be a tough one for Barwell.
Indeed, yeah. Of course, playing their football in the Central Division these days, Barlow. But the Battle of the Men in Green. Nantwich have started the season strongly, haven't they? Firing the goals in there, they'll be good this season. I think if they can hold on to those players, you would have to make them favourites. I think.
What league's Royston in?
Royston.
I always think it's a league of gentlemen.
Royston Vasey, yeah.
There's a clash at Southern League side, Royston Town. They're hosting our very own Stamford. Stamford have had another great start to the season. When we talk about Stamford and the Division 1 South East section, themselves, Leek, Cleethorpes, and, you know, I could list 5 or 6 other clubs. They're all very, very capable sides, and, you know, it's going to be a tough game, this one, for Royston.
You would think so, yeah. Hopefully Stamford can continue the great football that they've played in those first couple of games. They've not just got the points on the board, but they've hit the net as well. And they will go there absolutely full of confidence when they go to the home of the Crows.
Cheshire takes on Liverpool on Saturday. And for more on this, Runcorn Linnet's taking on Marine this weekend in the FA Cup. And for more on this, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Runcorn Linnet's. Here's Callum McIntyre. Well, Callum, a big thank you for joining us on this week's show. We'll get to the actual match this weekend against Marine in the FA Cup. But you come into the club over the summer. Obviously, you know, with COVID and that side of things, it's tricky. But with, you know, is it advantageous having these vitally important cup games early doors? Because, you know, I think you played more cup games than league games. So does that add to it at all, settling in and these big games coming thick and fast?
It's about how you want to prioritise competitions. We want to win every game of football. And I know that's a cliche, but we're determined to do that. Every time we go out, we're trying to either get 3 points or progress in a cup competition. We were quite clear that we felt we could try and have a go at the FA Cup. Look, I'm not saying we're going to win it. I don't think Mikel Arteta's sort of shaking in his designer high top boots and his chinos. I don't think he's overly worried about what Runcorn Limits are doing in the FA Cup. But equally, it provides an opportunity in the early rounds to perhaps generate some money for your football club. It might attract a tie that gives a unique opportunity for players to play against the level of opposition that they traditionally wouldn't, and sort of create some memories both for players and supporters. So we discussed that as a group and said we're going to take this sort of importantly. We're going to run with it alongside the league, and we're hopeful that sort of post Saturday after the Marine game, we're still in the competition. What you reference, and you're right, is that the challenge was the type of pre-season it was going to be, because you take over a job on the 16th of June with no players, no idea when the season's going to start, no kit, the pitch was still being laid, so it was pretty much, some people would call it a blank canvas, and other people would say starting from scratch, so it was tricky, to be fair. So it was just about waiting for start dates, talking to players, and trying to implement exactly what we wanted to implement in pre-season, and the structure and the programme that we had in place at the earliest opportunity. Once we got some clarity as to when we were going to start, fortunately we'd done a lot of planning. That's sort of me, my assistant manager, Colin Woodthorpe, first team coach, Mike Alcott, the sort of entire staff that we brought in with us, that we were just able to roll it out and basically get moving on day one of pre-season. But it was certainly challenging. I think something that I'll look back on when I'm moaning about a difficult pre-season and go, well, it's probably never going to be as difficult as this one, is it?
No, that's very true. But the start to the season has been great. You know, a draw with Pontefract Coles in the league, beating Mosley midweek, and this FA Cup run as well. I mean, going up to the North East on a midweek is always tricky. A 0-0 draw and winning on penalties. I mean, how tough was that game at West Auckland?
That is something that perhaps I'm to adjust to, and it's a bit of a learning experience for me. I've been in a fortunate position in the last sort of 5 or 6 years to be full-time and to work with full-time players, both at youth level and at first team level. And so the logistical challenges of getting a team up to the North East on a Tuesday evening were a bit of an eye-opener for me. And I think that's a reflection, the sacrifices and commitment that our players made on that evening to be able to get a team up there was sort of reflective of what they're like as characters and their sort of commitment. Everyone told me what a game up there was going to be like, and it was how it was described, to be fair. I thought we were really good for 25 minutes, and then it just becomes a battle. And I think when you play opposition in a lower league than yourselves in a cup competition, the longer it goes on, you're not in front, the more of a cup tie it becomes. But for our group and forming our group and developing that rapport amongst players, staff and supporters that we've talked about being in it together pretty consistently, to win on penalties was the best way to win. Paddy Wharton, our goalkeeper, made two phenomenal saves in the shootout, and that combination of experienced lads stepping up first, but to have a 21-year-old lad step up and score a winning penalty, it was a brilliant feeling for everyone. So it was a tough tie as expected, but the manner in which we won has been massive for the group sort of moving forward in the last 10 days or so.
Let's talk about the atmosphere then for tomorrow. Obviously, you know, Runcorn Linnets, a fan-owned club. It's Cheshire against Merseyside. Marine coming to town. Tough game, this one. What are you expecting, and how much are the fans going to play in this one?
So they've been brilliant with us. I love the fan-owned concept. I think it's really exciting, and it allows fans to have a real buy-in and ultimately play a real part in their football club. So that was a big catch for us when we were sort of going through the process of applying for the role and trying to do something here at Runcorn. They've been brilliant with us from day one. We get really, really good crowds. The big thing for us is the local restrictions in Holton means that our club have worked really hard in the last 7 days with the local council and the relevant agencies to make sure we can have sort of crowds in. So we look forward to our supporters sort of meeting all the guidelines that are in place to allow us to continue to have crowds, because what is a game of football without anyone in the ground at this level? You know what I mean? It's a really sort of sterile environment. We know it's going to be a tough tie. They've got a manager in Neil Young that I know really well, that obviously I've worked with previously at another club, and I know he'll set his sides up in a certain way to ensure that they're looking to progress in the competition. But we feel like we've gone about our business quite quietly. We've not made loads of noise. We feel like we've got a good group, and that we will go up against anyone in our division and do our stuff right and be a competitive force. But the home advantage will play a big part. Our pitch will play a big part, because we've played some brilliant football at home throughout pre-season and in the one competitive game we've had there. But I think we're just really excited to get out there, test ourselves against one of the biggest sides in the division, and see if we're still in the FA Cup come 5 o'clock Saturday.
And final question, Callum. How much are you looking forward to tomorrow, and what's your message to that home fan base?
Oh, really excited, particularly when you go on a run of away games. So to have played the three consecutive aways, you almost miss those home comforts and being in your own dressing room and all the support that we get. Just get right behind us from minute one. You've seen a football team that are playing a type of football and producing types of performances that are hopefully worthy of that support in terms of their effort, their endeavour and the quality we're trying to produce. And if we all stick together tomorrow, players, staff, supporters, let's see if we can get through another FA Cup round and make sure we're still in the hat come Monday.
Callum McIntyre there, manager of Runcorn Linnets, joining us here on the MPL show. It's a tough game, this one.
Yeah, Marine a decent side. They did have a setback in midweek against Colne, but they're still they'll still be difficult opposition for Runcorn. But Runcorn Linnets, I think they're a good side. They're one that I can see progressing up having a good season. They're still to get underway at home this season, but they're unbeaten so far. So they'll fancy themselves this season to push on into those playoff positions.
Skelmersdale United, our old friends, taking on Lancaster City. Lancaster's been unlucky, I think, not to get more out of the season thus far. It's been the odd goal here or there that's let them down, really.
Yeah, absolutely. They're still very, very early days. What is great to see, Ben, is Skelmersdale back playing in Skelmersdale.
Yes.
They've managed to turn things around, and that's a testament to the small band of volunteers that you'll find at most non-league clubs. But I think after all the problems they had with owners and grounds, to have them back at the JMO Sports Park, which is a new build, artificial pitch, but terrific to have them back playing in Skelmersdale, and great to have them welcome back to playing against MPL opposition.
And how big's this game going to be? It's just a shame there's no crowds. Southport against Morpeth Town. What a test this is for Steve Turnbull. This is, I'm going to say, this got away win written all over it, hasn't it?
It has. Really has. Morpeth making the long trip east to west, onto the west coast for Southport. Yeah, absolutely. Morpeth, a very good side. I think they will really test Southport on Saturday. They've had a good start. They've played most of the football away in the league as well this season. I think they'll really fancy their chances. I would say it's got a way win written all over it. Sorry, Morpeth.
Two remaining fixtures to talk about for Saturday in the FA Cup. Stalybridge Celtic hosting Northwest Counties side Longridge Town. Tricky one, that one, for Stalybridge. They've got to be careful, haven't they?
Yes, you've got to take Longridge seriously. Stalybridge, Lee Ashcroft in charge there as well, former Kendal boss, so he knows the MPL well. And they've had a good pre-season, and they'll fancy their chances. Stalybridge, of course, were on the TV as well. They were on the BBC Red Button in the previous round against Stocksbridge, all MPL affair. So, they've already had a little bit of history in the competition, and they'll be hoping to go on and create a bit more.
And certainly a club with a lot of history in the FA Cup is Chester. And Chester travelling to Worksop Town, our very own Worksop Town, on Saturday. And hopefully we'll create a bit of an upset here.
Absolutely. Top of the South East Division, Worksop. Vociferous crowd at the best of times. I think they've got a good chance of bringing an upset. They've scored some goals as well to start the season. They've got some real firepower. You just never know.
Right. That's the FA Cup. And a big good luck to everyone in FA Cup competition. As we were saying earlier with James, there's going to be radio commentary at most of the games, because some of the games there'll be no one in attendance due to COVID restrictions. So there's going to be radio commentary at most of the games. Some clubs are talking about streaming live as well. So keep an eye on the NPL social media channels on Saturday morning. But there's also two league matches. Witton Albion taking on Basford United. Basford United haven't had the best of starts, but not a terrible start either. Played 3, won 1, lost 1, drawn 1. Witton Albion, they've won 1 but lost 2. Game of the day, though, when it comes to the league, has to be Warrington Town against Whitby Town, which I'm assuming will be live on Coast and County Radio.
It certainly will. Yeah, it will. And Liam Ryder will be at that one, guiding us through it. But very tough for Whitby. They had to go to Buxton last weekend. Now they've got to go to Warrington. They were the league leaders. 3 wins out of 3. Whitby on the road again, of course, because of the COVID regulations. This was hastily rearranged. It was going to be Bamber Bridge, but of course Bamber Bridge aren't able to play because of the COVID situation. So it's going to be a very, very difficult game. Whitby, I don't know whether you've seen this, but Whitby and Scarborough have had some really good news today that the supporters are going to be allowed in, back into their grounds due after the combined local authorities at a meeting. I have to say that this is quite refreshing as well. Obviously a bit of local rivalry between Whitby and Scarborough, but they actually joined forces for this meeting. They've been working together to get fans back through the turnstiles at the Toba Express Stadium and the Flamingoland Stadium. So they've had some brilliant news. Obviously, they haven't kicked a ball at home in the league yet, either of the sides, but they will be able to do so in coming weeks. So that is a big relief. Of course, clubs at our level just absolutely rely on that home match income, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. And well done to Whitby and Scarborough for putting their differences aside. And if there's any invites still going for the UN Drinks reception to celebrate the fact that your friends now, let me know. I'm more than happy to attend, say some words and stuff. But Andrew, just before you go, just a quick plug for Coast and County Radio. Full commentary of Whitby Town matches this season.
Absolutely, and Scarborough Athletic as well, Coast and County. I will be on the afternoon show, 2 till 5:30, doing the best of the local sport. One of those is Whitby Town against Warrington Town, where you'll be able to have uninterrupted live coverage of, courtesy of Liam Ryder there in Cheshire.
Coast and County Radio presenter Andrew Snaith there joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And give Coast and County Radio a follow on Twitter, especially their sports department. That's at C&C Sport on Twitter. And you can tune in to Coast and County Radio by visiting the website coastandcountyradio.co.uk. And just a reminder, that preview was recorded on Thursday before the announcements from the Turnbull Ground regarding the situation with Chris Hardy. And just to say a big good luck to Chris with future endeavours. And we'll have more on that news on next week's show. But I'm imagining as well, Andrew Snaith will be covering it tomorrow on Coast and County Radio Sport. So tune in on Saturday afternoon. But that's it for this week's Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you to all our guests this week for joining me. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all have a lovely and safe weekend, and you'll be hearing from us again next week. Bye-bye.